We're going to worship at the end today because we're going to praise. Let me say that again. We're going to praise at the end today because we're going to be discussing praise today and the purpose and the power of it. So I just want you to go ahead and begin preparing your hearts. And here's the thing. God will move in as much as you allow him to in your life. Can I say that again? However much room you give God permission to move in is what he's going to take. He's not going to overwhelm you. He's not going to override you. How many of you know he's not going to come in and just take over? It takes permission. It's this little nasty thing he gave us called free will. How many of you know free will has gotten in the way of a lot of good things before? Amen? But God thought it was so worthy for us to have that because without free will, there can be no love. Without free will, there can be no desire. Without free will, there can be no a pulling and a strong desire to show affection toward without free will. Amen? So today, what I want you to do is I want you to go ahead and I want you, before we even jump into the Word, I want you to begin to give God permission in your life to do something unexpected today, to do something he's never done before. Amen? We're not going to do anything. We're not even going to call anybody down today. We're not going to do anything like that. But I want you to know that God can move on your behalf right where you're sitting, right where you are. Amen? So who's going to join me? Who's going to give God permission today? Amen? Let's do that. Let's pray. Father, I thank you that your word is life. Somebody say amen. And that you're not a silent God, but you're still speaking today. You're speaking through the Spirit. You're speaking through the Word. And I pray today that those two would come together. And that we would have eyes to see and hearts prepared to receive all that you have for us. In Jesus' awesome name we pray. Amen. Today we're going to be discussing the power of praise. You know, we're in our series called Amped Up. That's Amp Up. I always say Amped Up. It's actually Amp Up. We're in our series called Amp Up. And what God is desiring for us to do is to continue to amp up our spiritual walk. You know, summer is a time where many of us go on vacation. Many of us relax. Many of us, we see our schedules loosened up a little bit. I know we have many families even today that are out on vacation. In the summer, even as the church, we even plan. We know during summer we're going to have, you know, kind of inconsistent crowds because we know our families are out celebrating. How many of you know that's a good thing, by the way? Amen? That's what needs to happen. This is a wonderful time of year, a wonderful season where we can recuperate, regenerate, and get ready for what's to come. Amen? But in doing so, I believe that God is calling us to amp up our spiritual walk and to put some habits in place that help us to walk closer with him, to grow in our spiritual maturity, and to be prepared for the battles ahead. How many of you know you're probably going to have a battle to fight? How many of you want to be prepared for the battle? Amen? So that's what we're going to be talking about today. And today what we're going to be talking about is the power and the purpose of praise. You know, one thing right off the bat, you've heard me say this before, praise has nothing to do with music whatsoever. We sang a wonderful praise song this morning, Raise a Hallelujah. I love that song, man. What a great song that is. Somebody say amen. Let's thank our worship team today. Didn't they do a great job? But you know, I was actually, many of you may or may not know this, I used to be a musician. It was something that I did quite a bit of. And even as being a musician, and you know, we tend to default everything to being about music and the song and this is my, but you guys know praise has nothing to do with whether or not anybody's playing guitar, drums, keyboard, organ, whatever you choose, has nothing to do with that. Praise is a position of the heart in a process of the mind. Can I say that again? Praise is a position of the heart. What's the heart? Our mind, will, and emotions. And a process of the mind. A process of how we think. Amen? So, and I'm going to show that a little bit this morning about how that works and what that looks like. Let's look at Psalm 22, verse 3. We're going to use a lot of scripture today. We're going to go through a lot of scripture. How many of you know we're going to talk about praise? We should probably look at scripture. Amen? So I want you to prepare yourself, and I just want you to relax and receive. It says, "But thou art holy, O thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel." Another translation would say this: you are holy who inhabits the praises of your people. Whenever you see Israel in the Old Testament, you need to go ahead and say people. That's the people of God, right? And how many of you know that in the New Covenant, we are the people of God? Amen? And so what he's saying is this, that you inhabit, God, you inhabit the praises of your people. We each come to moments in our lives that challenge us. Everybody, anybody been challenged this week? Right? How we respond in the midst of those challenges and where we place our focus will determine the outcomes. What are we going to allow to live in the moment or circumstances that we face? Are we going to allow fear to live in that moment? Are we going to allow worry to live in that moment? Are we going to allow self-confidence to live in that moment? Or are we going to let God live in the moment of our challenge? You know, the scripture just said, you inhabit the praises of your people. That tells me where we praise, God lives. How many of you inhabit somewhere? Right? Do you inhabit your habitation? Right? The place where you live, your home. Amen? How many of you got a, you know, we have a home. We have a place where we live, and it's where we share our life. It's where we, you know, we're comfortable. It's where, you know, we relax. It's where we rejuvenate, we recover, where we do chores, where we, right? It's the place where we live. How many of you know you inhabit a community? Right? You live in a neighborhood, you live in a city, you live in a county, you go about through the streets, you live in a place where you go to Walmart, Lord help us. We live in a place where we go to eat and Whataburger's there. And you know how I feel about that. God inhabits it. I don't care what you say. I'm kidding. I know better. But he does. But when we talk about God inhabiting, what we're talking about is the place where we live. And when we begin to praise in the middle of a difficult or a challenging situation, what we're doing is we're putting out an invitation for God to come and sit down in the midst of our circumstances and to inhabit that space. Isn't that awesome? That we're saying that in the midst of my trouble, in the midst of my worry, in the midst of my fear, I'm going to praise God. I'm going to choose to shift my focus to who he is, and that when I begin to praise, he begins to live in it. Isn't that awesome? He just sits right down in the middle of it and makes himself at home in the middle of the situation. And how many of you know that where God lives, fear cannot live? That where God lives, faithlessness cannot live. Somebody say amen. That where God lives, lack and poverty cannot live. That where God lives, sickness and disease cannot live. Amen? That where God lives, he owns. Come on, that's good, eh? You know, as a matter of fact, what I found is that even if you really look at that scripture and you really take care of it, and I've said this before, that the Lord inhabits the praises of his people. The inhabits definition is literally to sit down in the midst of and to abide. And when we turn to praise, we're literally allowing God to sit down in the middle of our situation and live there. How awesome to know that he lives where I praise. How awesome to know that praise doesn't, how many of you know praise doesn't always just go to him? How many of you know we can praise each other? You know, there's healthy ways to praise one another. Authentic and genuine ways that we as the children of God praise one another. Let me ask you guys a question. How many of you got kids? Yeah? Okay. How many of you like it when your kids are good to each other? Amen? How many of you are blessed when your kids bless each other? Isn't that awesome? Isn't it wonderful, like, when those rare moments where they're not screaming and arguing with one another? I'm kidding. Kinda. I only said I'm kidding for the sake of the teenagers so they didn't feel so bad about themselves over there. But in those moments when you see your children genuinely show affection and care for each other, as a parent, how blessed are you? How awesome is it that don't you wanna be a part of that? Don't you wanna live in the middle of that? So when I as a child of God, look to another child of God and I say, Bill, man, you're just such an awesome man of God. And it's so amazing to me how through struggles and tribulations, you just serve him and you love him. And man, he's going to do great things with you. And when that's genuine, which it is, and that's authentic, God inhabits that. God sits in the middle of that. And he says, this is good. Guys, I'm not talking about ego stroking. I'm not talking about manipulation where we compliment somebody to get what we want. I'm talking about legitimate recognition of the goodness of God in another person. Amen? And when we do that, I believe that the Lord himself says, this is good. I love when my kids love on my kids. Come on. When they take care of one another, when they look after one another, I want to be a part of that. Guys, part of the mission of this church, the reason why we want to be a church that is built on praise, we want to be known for our encouragement. We want to be known for the way that we lift people up and not put people down. Amen? Because when we do that, I believe we're inviting God into our midst to sit down with us and to help us. And how many of you know people are going to come to the presence of God? Amen? That's what we're desiring to do, that God lives in the midst of praise. The definition of praise literally means to boast wildly. Jeremiah 9, 22 and 23 in the ESV says this, thus says the Lord, let not the wise man boast in his wisdom. Let not the mighty man boast in his might. Let not the rich man boast in his riches. But let him who boasts, boast in this, that he understands and knows me. That I am the Lord who practices steadfast love, justice, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, declares the Lord. Isn't that awesome? See, praise, it's proclaiming the greatness of God based on what he has already done. See, too often we base our praise not on what God's already done. We base our praise on what we think's going on right now. So what we do is we begin to base our praise on circumstances. And how many times have you heard me say this? If you only praise God when circumstances are good, you're not praising God, you're praising good circumstances. Right? Maturity says, I praise God even when it doesn't add up because I know what he's already done. Therefore, I know he will do it again. Amen? This is important that we become a people of praise. So I want to take a few moments this morning and I want to give you some components of praise. And I'm going to, in the next one here, I just want you guys to go ahead and if you have your Bible, turn to Psalm chapter 118. We're going to read a large portion of this chapter today. Maybe you know you need less of my opinion, you need more of the Word. Amen? Psalm 118, we're going to start there. We're just going to read in just a moment. But I want to give you this morning, I want to give you three components of praise. Three components of praise this morning. And the first one is recount. Say recount. How many of you know it's important to remember to recount what God has done? Amen? That in the middle of a difficult circumstance, in the middle of a difficult situation, that we have to be a people that recall and recount what God has already done. What God has already made happen. We need to remember how big and how powerful God is. Because there is something incredible about when we get in our situations and our circumstances and we get into our so-called desperation and panic modes, isn't it amazing how narrow our vision becomes? Yeah? That all of the sudden, we forget that God has ever done anything for us and we just begin to panic about the situation that's happening right now. And we have to begin to remember that God has already done great things. Amen? And so what we do is David was master at this. How many of you know David had a few bad days? Yeah? David had a couple bad days. And in those bad days, see, David was called a man after God's own heart because David knew how to remember God. And he began to recount. Let's look at Psalm 118. Can we read that this morning? I'm just going to read, and listen, I'm going to tell you, it's long, but I really want you to pay attention, and I want you to focus, and I want you to notice what David is doing here this morning. It says this, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. Let Israel," or let the people say, "his steadfast love endures forever. Let the house of Aaron say, his steadfast love endures forever. Let those who fear the Lord say, his steadfast love endures forever. Out of my distress I called on the Lord. The Lord answered me and set me free. The Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do to me?" Isn't that awesome? "The Lord is on my side as my helper. I shall look in triumph on those who hate me." I love that one, by the way. Isn't that awesome? "I shall look in triumph on those who hate me. It's better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in man. It's better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in princes. All nations surrounded me. In the name of the Lord, I cut them off. They surrounded me on every side. In the name of the Lord, I cut them off. They surrounded me like bees." Y'all ever been surrounded by bees? That's a bad moment. That is a bad moment. I got a funny story about that I won't tell right now. But if you want to know later, I can tell you. "They went out like fire among thorns. In the name of the Lord, I cut them off. I was pushed hard so that I was falling, but the Lord helped me." What's he doing here, guys? He's recounting. He's remembering, yeah? "This, the Lord is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation. Glad songs of salvation are in the tents of the righteous. The right hand of the Lord does valiantly. The right hand of the Lord exalts. The right hand of the Lord does valiantly. I shall not die, but I shall live and recount the deeds of the Lord." We're just going to stop right there. And the rest of the chapter goes on, him telling all the good things God has done. See, guys, there comes a moment in praise where you have to get your eyes off what's going on right now, and you have to begin to remember again what God has done. "I shall remember again the day that he saved me. I shall remember again the day that the Lord showed up for me. I shall remember again that the day that the Lord provided for me. I shall remember again. Therefore, I will not be in fear, for he can do it again." Amen? See, recounting isn't because God has forgotten. It's because we have. How many of you know God doesn't forget? God didn't forget that he helped you. God remembered what he did. But we begin to recount because sometimes we forget. Sometimes we don't remember everything that God has done. You know, guys, that's where, by the way, where ingratitude slips in. Anybody ever been ungrateful before? Is it just me? Yeah? We get ungrateful when we forget what God has done that's been good. We get like that with each other, don't we? How many times have we gotten ungrateful towards somebody who's actually done a lot of good things for us? And we have to be reminded, oh, wait a minute, they've been pretty generous toward me. Yeah? And we can never allow our hearts to become ungrateful toward God because there is no ingratitude in praise. Amen? Because that's the very next point. Gratitude is important in praise. Psalm 100, verse 4 says this, "Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name." How many of you have read that scripture 1,000 times in your life? Remember, you guys remember there used to be an old song, those of you who've been in church for a while? "I will enter his gates with thanksgiving in my heart." This is, kids, that's what we had to deal with. That was our church. "I shall enter his courts with praise." And they always said it like that. And I'm like, y'all, this is bad. You know? But, you know, music has gotten way better in church, just so you know. It's gotten really good, man. But you know what? The fact is, you know, as I get older, I appreciate those things a lot more. Because I remember that they were sang with joy. They were sang with grateful hearts. And guys, it doesn't matter whether you like the song or you don't like the song. It really has a lot to do with the position of the heart, saying, I'm grateful for what God has done. And when I enter into his presence, I'm going to do so, recounting his goodness and being grateful for what he's already done. Saying thank you. Do you know there's not a single day of your life that you wake up that it would be inappropriate to say thank you to God? It's just the problem is we just get too self-absorbed, don't we? We wake up with our problems, we wake up in our bad moods, we wake up in our situations. And what do? We walk around and we act like a bunch of ingrates taking it out on everybody else, like it's their fault that we're in the position we're in. Let me know that doesn't bless the heart of God. Come on. Even on your worst day, and I am not speaking in hyperbole here, even on your worst day, there was always a reason to thank God. We may not always see it, but it's there. Amen? How many of you guys woke up today under a roof? Thank God. Amen? Thank God. Thank you, God. How many of you guys are going to have some food? Thank you, God. Amen? No, I'm serious. How many of you have somebody who loves you? Thank you, God. Amen? Seriously. How many of you had shoes to put on your feet today? Thank you. Do you understand what I'm getting at, right? We live, particularly as Americans, we live in the most prosperous nation to ever exist. Not just in the current world today. And there has never been a period in history that we have lived in the most prosperous nation. This great experiment called America, blessed by the hand of God, has been one of the greatest things. We woke up today. If you woke up on these shores this morning, you woke up in the top 4 or 5% wealthiest people in the world. Period. What do you got to complain about? I'm being sincere. Now, listen, I'm not dismissing your problems. I'm just saying God is bigger than. I'm not dismissing the situations and the trials that you're going through. I'm just saying God is more worthy than. And what I'm trying to do is I'm trying to give you the weapon to defeat what the enemy is bringing against you. And gratitude is a key part of praise. Amen? Every day, we need to make it a habit to find reasons to say thank you. Because when we position ourselves in gratitude, we position ourselves for God to move in a greater and deeper and mightier way. And it's part of praise. You okay this morning? Third one I'm going to talk about here. Sacrifice. Sacrifice. Praise requires sacrifice. What do I mean? Hebrews 13:15 says this. Through him, then, let us continually, say continually, offer up a sacrifice of praise to God. That is, the fruit of lips that acknowledge his name. I need to read that verse one more time. I really want you to chew on this one, okay? Through him, then, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of lips that acknowledge his name. Do you want to bear fruit in your life? Acknowledge his name. Acknowledge him. You know, it talks about a sacrifice of praise. How many of you have ever heard of that before? You know, one of our other famous old songs, we bring the sacrifice of praise into the house of the... See, Andy knows it. But then it goes on to say, and I'm so happy, so very happy. See? Isn't that awesome? Y'all don't laugh. That's what we had, all right? And we were grateful. How many of you have ever, in a moment, gotten so involved in your own feelings that it was painful to praise anything or anyone else? You were so self-involved that you couldn't even enjoy the prosperity and the victories and the celebrations of your dearest friends. That you found yourself, even in those moments, saying, God, I am so angry that they're blessed. Y'all don't look at me like you ain't that, you're that spiritual. You've done it. Every single one of you has done it. But what about in that moment where I begin to praise and I begin to celebrate when I don't feel like it? It's sacrificing what I want to give him what he deserves. Because let's be very honest, we like to live life that's all about me. Don't we? We like to live life where we're the central focus. But see, praise is not birthed in selfishness. Praise is birthed in sacrifice. Amen? And when I begin to lift up Jesus, when I begin to praise and to celebrate his goodness and his kindness and his love and his mercy, even when I don't feel like, sometimes it hurts. Sometimes it feels disingenuous. Let me ask you a question. How many of you have ever walked in this building? It's okay, I'm not going to judge you. Worship team began to play. You look around, everybody's worshiping, everybody's getting into it, and you're like, I do not feel like being right here right now. My hand is up, by the way. Full disclosure, I have sat on this front row going, I can't believe I'm sitting here with all these heathens. I'm just kidding. I'm kidding. No, you sit up there and you start thinking about all the things that where your heart is hurting and where things are going wrong, and you're like, it'd kill me to lift my hand right now. Let's just be honest, can we? But it's in that very act of sacrifice when God says, there's my obedient servant. Guys, it's not when your emotions are riding high. It's not when you walk in and the band is just hitting the notes just right. It's not when Micah hits a rhythm that just finally catches you. It's when you come in and no matter what else is going on and you're praising because you know you need to praise. By the way, that's called being mature. Where we are no longer using praise and worship as a vehicle for our emotions. But we're using praise and worship as a vehicle to give God what he is due. Amen? So even when I don't feel like it, even when I've had a bad weekend, even when I've had a bad week, even when things haven't gone right, when I walk in here and I sit in this place, I've got to tell myself, self, this is not about you. This is not about what you've gone through. This is not about your hurt. This is about what he is worth. Come on. And now, self, sit down, shut up, and get in line. For we bring the sacrifice of praise. Come on. I'm going to tell you guys a story. You've heard it before. It's in Acts chapter 16, verses 25 through 40. We're going to read it this morning. It's about Paul and Silas. How many of you guys ever heard of Paul and Silas? Right? You know what story I'm going to. But we're going to read it, and we're going to allow the word to speak. Amen? See, what happened was Paul and Silas were out evangelizing for the kingdom. How many of you know that God had given Paul a mission? Come on, right? To go teach and preach the gospel. And he was with Silas, and all of a sudden they found themselves doing what God asked them to do and then finding themselves in a position of being arrested for doing it. Right? Now, how many of you right now would go ahead and say that's going to qualify as a bad day for you? Right? How many of you are going to sit in that prison cell? Right? And by the way, they didn't get the nice prison cells we get. They were in a muddy pit where there were no nice bathrooms, you were just in there. You let your imagination take the rest. And they're thrown in there. How many of you would have been a little bitter that you were doing what God told you to do, yet you found yourself in that position? How many of you would have said, well, this isn't fair. This isn't right. I don't deserve this. Come on. God, why do you hate me so much? Why have you done this to me? Heaven forbid we face resistance from an enemy that wants to steal, kill, and destroy and stop us from doing what God says. But no, this is God's fault. Come on, I'm hitting home with somebody today. Because there's somebody in here right now, you are blaming God for your circumstances that God had nothing to do with. And all God is trying to do is he's trying to speak to your heart and tell you, I love you, I have a home for you, but it's time to start praising. It's time to let the things of the past go and to come to a place of maturity and begin to praise your way through this situation. I don't know who that's for, but that's for somebody today. So Paul and Silas find themselves in this position that they're in this prison. And it says about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. And the prisoners were listening to them. I wonder if they were what they were singing. Like, no, I'm not being funny. I want to know what they were singing. Like, we need that song. And suddenly, man, what happens when we see suddenly in the Bible? Pay attention, right? Because something good's about to happen. And suddenly there was a great earthquake so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were opened and everybody's bonds were unfastened. Total liberation. Did you notice that as they were singing and as they were worshiping, they didn't just free themselves, they freed everybody else in the prison too? Come on. When you praise, you don't just free you, you free everybody around you. Come on. How many of you want to be a conduit of freedom? When the jailer woke and saw that the prison doors were open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself. He was about to have a bad day. He had supposed that the prisoners had escaped, but Paul cried out with a loud voice, "Do not harm yourself, for we all are here." Guys, I love that part right there because my vindictive self would have been like, carry on. As you were. You put me in this place. Serves you right. You're laughing because you'd have done the same. That's why you're laughing. But after the moment of praise, Paul cried out with a heart of compassion. We have to be compassionate on those who have brought damage to our life sometimes. And he called out, he says, "Do not harm yourself, for we are all here." Isn't that awesome? See, Paul knew God was about to do something bigger than him. Paul didn't just shake that prison for his sake. He did it according to a bigger plan. And the jailer called for lights and rushed in, and trembling with fear, he fell down before Paul and Silas. You need to understand how important that verse is, because what you have is a jailer who is a dignified man, who was a Roman official and a Roman authority, threw himself on a ground that was probably soaked and completely drenched with urine and all sorts of nasty things because conditions. You want to talk about throwing yourself to a place of humility. Amen? Then he brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they said, "Believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved, you and your household." And they spoke the word of the Lord to him and all who were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night and washed their wounds, and he was baptized at once. He definitely needed a shower. He and all his family. Then he brought them up into his house, you know the jailer lived there, and set food before them. And he rejoiced along with his entire household that he had believed God. Isn't that awesome? Isn't that incredible? That they went from being in the prison to now all of a sudden they're sitting at the jailer's table. declaring the goodness of God to him. His house is being saved. They're getting baptized. Come on. He's feeding them. He's taking care of them. But, you know, we always stop the story right there. But I want to read on, can I? Verse 35, but when it was day, the magistrates sent the police saying, let those men go. And the jailer reported these words to Paul, saying, the magistrates have sent to let you go. Therefore, come out now and go in peace. But Paul said to them, they have beaten us publicly, uncondemned men who are Roman citizens, and have thrown us into prison. And do they now throw us out secretly? No. Let them come take us out themselves. Y'all, the prison doors are open. I'm gone. Right? Paul's still hanging around the jailer's house at this point. He's walking around saying, no, they're not going to throw me out quietly. They beat me publicly. They embarrassed us. They shamed us. They condemned us, men who were innocent, and they want us just to walk away quietly? No. If they want us to go, you tell them they have to come down here and take us out. Oh, man, he was gangster. I'm serious. I'd have been like, you mean we can go? I've been skulking out of town as fast as possible. But he's like, no. They are going to come down, and they will walk us out. Boy, how many of you have ever read that part? Yeah? The police reported these words to the magistrates, and they were afraid. And when they heard they were Roman citizens, so they came and apologized to them. And they took them out and asked them to please leave the city. So they went out of prison and visited Lydia, and when they had seen the brothers, they encouraged them and departed. They were beaten. They were embarrassed. They were shamed. Their liberty was taken from them. But because Paul and Silas knew how to raise a hallelujah in the right moment, prison doors shook, chains fell off, family was saved. Come on. And they were publicly acknowledged as being innocent. Isn't that awesome? They received an apology from the ones who brought harm upon them. They went from being in a position of victim to the victor. Amen? It's powerful. It's incredible. And they left that city having made a mark. You know, I think it's very funny because they're like, please go, please leave the city now because we're embarrassed. And they said, yeah, we will. But first we're going to talk to Lydia. And then we're going to encourage the brothers. And then we go. They went from being in a position to where they had no power to a position where now they're calling the shots. Amen? Because that's how quickly God can turn a situation around. That's how quickly God can, and how many of you know God had purpose in that pain? He had purpose in those dark hours in the prison. He had purpose in what he was doing. But because Paul and Silas were people who understood, now is the time to lift up God. Now is the time to remember and to recount. Now is the time to sing my song. Now is the time, come on, to display some gratitude. Now is the time to see God move. In the midst of that junk, they began to praise. If they can do it, why can't you? Come on. Let me ask you a question. How many of you have been unfairly treated, beaten, and thrown in prison this week? If you have, seriously, don't raise your hand. Just talk to me later. We got some stuff to discuss. See, what's come against you is nothing compared to what God can do. if you will be a person who allows yourself to be positioned in praise and allows the process of your mind to change. Because what it requires for us is this: we have to make a decision of the will. Today, I will praise the Lord. Amen? It has nothing to do with how you feel. It has nothing to do with how you've been treated. It has nothing to do with what you're owed or what you think you're owed. It has nothing to do with anything but He is worthy of the praise. Amen? So how many of you want to shake some chains loose? Amen? How many of you want to see some liberation come to not just yourself but to those around you? Amen? How many of you want to go from being the victim to the victor? Amen? Then come on, let's stand up today. And can we just sing? Let's raise a hallelujah. Can we do that? Guys, I'm not going to pray for you. This is going to be our closing prayer. Amen? This is going to be it. We're going to sing this song, and this is going to be our declaration. But I want to encourage you. You make the choice this morning to praise. Amen? Can we do that today? Come on, who's going to do it with me? Just wave at me, yeah? Come on, let's make this declaration.